This morning's public reading comes from John's Gospel, chapter 4. So if you would be so kind, if you want to join us, to turn to John chapter 4. And we're going to conclude chapter 4 here this morning by reading verses 43 to the end. Now, after 2 days, he departed thence and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet had no honor in his own country. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast. For they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again unto Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him, and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, Sir, come down, ere my son die. Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour into which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Please be seated, and may God bless his word. Now I'm going to get a little bit ahead of myself, but look at verse 54. John makes a statement here that many folks do not catch what John is trying to tell us. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did. Now notice the time. When he came out of Judea into Galilee. When it says out of Judea, we're talking in and around Jerusalem in the south. This miracle, like the first miracle that's recorded for us in John 2, occurs in the north. Okay? In and around Capernaum, which was basically Jesus' headquarters from which he worked from, out of. Most of Jesus' miracles were done in the north. Remember when he sends the disciples away two by two in Matthew chapter 10? He begins to upbraid and condemn the cities where many of his miracles were done. He lists several cities. And if you were to plot those cities on a map, you will notice that they're all in the north, not in the south. In and around Jerusalem. Isn't that amazing? Matter of fact, that region to the north where Jesus demonstrated his power and divinity by miracles was actually more closer to Gentile turf than it was probably in the south. I would say the majority of the Gentiles that you would find in and around Jerusalem would have been Romans guarding the outpost and guarding the garrisons. But most of Jesus' miracles were done outside of Judea. Just a passing point. Well, what do we find here? Verse 43. And after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee. Now remember, John here is following, at this point, there is a chronological order. So after 2 days, that would mean, if you're reading the where we left off last week, the woman at the well, she goes to her city. She tells about a man who told everything about her. They welcome Jesus. He sticks around for several days. After those 2 days, okay, he continued his journey to the north. Okay, he left Jerusalem, has to go through Samaria where he has the encounter with the woman, spends a little bit of time with the Samaritans, but he's still heading north. Okay. That's the picture. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet had no honor in his own country. And that's referring to where he was grown up, in the city of Nazareth, in up there in the north. Then, when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him. So here the Galileans received him. Why did they receive him? Having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. So all the males of a certain age, according to the law of Moses, had to be front and center during three feasts of Israel. Okay? Passover, Pentecost, and Day of Atonement. Okay? So it was during one of those feasts that the city of Jerusalem was full to overflowing with a lot of men from around the empire in accordance with Moses' law. Well, some of the men from Galilee who fit that age group and did obey were there in Galilee and saw Jesus, heard him, okay, and saw the things that he did. So now the feast is over. They go back home. Jesus now comes into that same region after his stay with the Samaritans. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. Now that was the first miracle that's recorded by John in John 2. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. Now again, Capernaum was also the home of Peter, James, and John, and Andrew. They were fishers. Capernaum is located in the north on the shore of the Lake of Galilee. That was Jesus' headquarters. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea, notice, out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down, heal his son, for his son was at the point of death. Okay? Then said Jesus unto him, now notice this, notice Jesus' words. And he, this was not a loving expression. This was said with some exasperation. Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Notice, except you see signs and wonders. Now, how many people today would Jesus have to say the same words? You got different denominations under the overarching umbrella of Christianity or Christendom that are still seeking signs and wonders. God's word is not sufficient. The Old and the New Testament is not sufficient. They want something more. They want something to tickle their ears. They want something that's going to be spectacular. Something that's going to go, wow, we never seen it done like that before. They want excitement. They want thrills. They want glitz. They want glamour. When the Word of God apparently is not suffice for them. Notice, except you see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. And yet we learn our lesson from the Israelites that came out of Egypt. Beloved, they saw signs and wonders for 40 years, and many of them died in the wilderness because of unbelief. Signs and wonders do not guarantee belief. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down ere my son die. Notice the pleading of the father. Now I believe, this is me, that the pleading of this father was a demonstration of his faith in Christ. See, true faith will knock down every barrier that the world, the flesh, and the devil tries to pop up in front of it to discourage you. True, saving, biblical faith, though weak at times, though it struggles at times, at other times, it keeps going. Like they energize a bunny, it keeps going. This man was persistent. This almost hearkens to the illustration of Jesus' parable of the man who went to bed and shut the doors. Everybody's secure. But one of his neighbors had a friend come late at night and has no food. And he begins to knock on that neighbor's door, forces him to get out of bed. The guy upstairs looks out the window and says, hey, we're all snug as a bug here. It's too late. But my friend, he needs food. And he kept on knocking. That persistent knocking whereby the man upstairs was moved to come downstairs and to render sustenance. The man that was knocking at that door was a man of persistent faith. This father, now how do I know that? Well, let's look at the rest of the story. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. Now, beloved, notice, there's no sign right now given to the father. I love this. What did I just get done saying? What was the only thing that this nobleman had to hang on to? There's no miracle because the father is at one spot geographically. The boy is located somewhere else, right? The nobleman didn't bring his son on some mat with people carrying this sick body. What did the man have to go simply on? Jesus' words. What are we stuck with, if you want to use that term? And I say that not with any irreverence. What do we have, beloved, today? Not signs and wonders and frills and thrills. We have God's word. Notice, that man only had, go thy way, thy son liveth. That's all he had. But that was enough for his faith. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken, and he went his way. Many today would be reasoning with Jesus. What do you mean, go thy way, thy son liveth? Is he healed? Should I go now? Yeah. Are you going to come with me still? That's how many professing Christians would be responding to Jesus. This man simply believed and off he went. And as he was now going down, the servants met him, those who came out of the home meeting the nobleman, told him, saying, your son lives. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. Now this guy here is this guy is cool. He wants some verification. And when he said unto them, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him, the father concluded that what? Hey, that was the same time that Jesus told me, go, your son lives. And himself believed in his whole house. Here's the first household conversion that's recorded in the Gospels. Now, there are others that you find in the book of Acts. But here's an entire household convinced of Jesus. Now, notice these people that are in the house, Jesus was not there with them. What did they have to believe upon? The word of the Father. His encounter with Jesus, right? He relates that to the family. Matches the time that Jesus said, go, thy son liveth, with the same hour that everybody in the home, which was again located somewhere else, noticed the son's change from being sick to being healed. Isn't that amazing? It was Jesus' words that caused this father to go back in faith. And it was the father's word and testimony of what Jesus had done and said and did that convinced this family of the Father's word. Isn't that amazing? The power of the word. Well, may Christ choose to bless his word. Amen.